Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 25th of July, recording at 9:16 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights on what it was another exciting day in the markets, perhaps too exciting for some. First, Asian stock markets. Predictably, they started off down following the weakness of Europe and particularly Wall Street last night. But then they rallied, and they closed pretty well on the highs of the day, and three of them, I think Taiwan, South Korea, and China, actually closed up on the day. And as I said, all the others closed on the higher side of the day's action, and declines were modest where they occurred. Now, in the European markets, we had generally soft conditions. Then they firmed up and moved. Some of them moved to the plus side. Most of them moved to the plus side, and on some reasonable opening gains by Wall Street. But then Wall Street gave it all up, rallied again, gave it all up. Wall Street was weak when the European markets closed. So Europe closed well down, and then Wall Street staged a sort of little double bottom during the day, and closed on the upper side of its range for the day. Not anywhere near offsetting yesterday's declines, but possibly significantly, no downside follow-through. The long-dated government bonds were firm in here, not surprisingly. And the U.S. dollar, big short covering rally in here today, and that produced dynamics on the U.S. dollar index, which had touched 80 yesterday, a bit of an historic and emotive level. And so we saw a number of dynamics, upward dynamics by the dollar against individual currencies. Not all of them. For instance, it didn't do it against hard resources currencies such as the Australian New Zealand dollars. And that plus stock market weakness put paid to the rallies in precious metals, so they closed down on the day. 550 on gold bullion, that brought it back to 675. It's off the lows, $4 off the lows. And platinum didn't do badly here, goes down 270. So modest decline. Silver probably had the biggest fall, down 26 cents as I speak in after hours trading. Crude oil, which had been hit yesterday, staged a huge rebound today. Actually, I hadn't seen this because I've been concentrating on my writing, and crude oil is currently up 268 at 76.24. I'm just going to put that up on the chart. Sorry for this, taking just a moment, and look at that, and that's quite, clearly that's an upward dynamic, and it's offset the last 3 days' decline, so very, very powerful. I hadn't seen any news on that overall. There's bound to be something. Perhaps the U.S. Figures that were coming out on supplies was not so well. It was more bullish for the markets than generally expected, but that's a guess on my part. I haven't seen anything else. Now, the industrial metals with a stronger dollar were down, although not all that much. Soft commodities mostly quiet. So the big action was in crude and on the upside. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we are definitely seeing one of those bigger ranging reactions that I've been talking about all year, really, for stock markets as the risk, as part of a reversion to the mean represented by the 200-day moving averages best seen on the weekly charts. I'll produce a number of those, if not if not tomorrow, on Friday. Friday would probably be the better day, although I may start some of them tomorrow. Now, the weak spots have been the Western bank shares and bank indices all along. So they have really been underperforming for several months. Also the Japanese banks. And that's why Japan has so underperformed the other Asian markets. And that has been signaling trouble for really quite some time. But what's the extent of that trouble? Well, I said just a moment ago that we were certainly seeing one of those larger ranging reactions. And this could turn into a medium-term correction. We haven't seen one of those since the May-June 2006 sell-off. Will it turn into a bear market? No, I don't think so. And I've written my reasons, or I've written about this at length in Comment of the Day, which I haven't posted yet, but will shortly after completing this audio. So I won't review all of that, but we have seen some technical damage. A number of the uptrends that were really quite overstretched have seen their momentum checked. They've experienced downward dynamics. So we could well, it would be prudent to assume that they've been capped in the short term, but this is all within the long-term upward trends. Some of the markets that had been underperforming for quite some time, and most of those have heavy weightings of banks. Switzerland is a good example. Ireland is another example. And they generally, and Italy, they generally remain quite soft overall. But again, are still, for the most part, within their long-term moving averages that I mentioned a moment ago. The risk, I don't think, is I'll put it this way. I think the risk is very much in the short term, and it's not so much the threat to the U.S. economy from weak house prices and a subprime issue that's well understood. The risk, really, is that investors take fright and therefore want to cash up and close down a number of positions, particularly in some of those overhyped hedge funds, and especially the ones where the CDOs existed, and that creates its own little liquidity squeeze that results in some forced selling in the markets. That is a short-term risk, and that's the main risk overall in my view. Now, what's really impressive is the way Asia shrugged off Wall Street's action yesterday. And I hear that was helped enormously by China's move. And I've written about uncoupling, because for decades I've been saying, no, markets were not going to uncouple whenever Wall Street did anything important, particularly on the downside. And now I think it is a little bit different, because in times past, Wall Street has been very much the center of the financial universe, whereas today we live in a more multipolar world, and other stock markets, other growth regions are more influential than they were in the past. So, for instance, why should someone in China or many other parts of Greater Asia, why should they be all that worried about U.S. subprime and hedge fund problems? It It's hard to see how that directly affects their own markets, particularly if the US economy is not sliding into recession, which would have some economic impact. And therefore, I think that China, certainly in the Asian region, will have an increasing influence. And that influence can extend beyond the Asian region, as we saw, I think it was in early February, when we had a one-day big meltdown in China. And that caused a very sharp sort of little mini meltdown in global stock markets generally. I do not see a bear market developing from this. We don't have the extreme valuations. We haven't had the degree of euphoria that I would expect. Sure, stock market trends have been powerful, but as I've mentioned on so many occasions, there have been a lot of high-profile bears who have been giving warnings all year long. Now, I say this not in any disrespect. Really, their concerns, and they're legitimate concerns, these are not stupid people, obviously, but I think that their concerns have helped to prevent the sort of overheating that has preceded really serious events in markets, such as the 1987 crash. Okay. Moving on to government bonds. Same script. They take their cue from the equity markets. If people are nervous about the equity markets, as they are, certainly in the short term, then, and not to mention nervous about some of the CDOs, then they will put more capital into the long-dated sector, long-dated government bond markets, and that's what we're actually seeing. This is only a technical rally. It may be a good technical rally, depending on how far the US and the European markets, which will remain very much affected by the Wall Street leash effect, how much they sell off in the short term. Later on, when we see evidence of clear evidence that stock markets have bottomed, and that will require some quite good upward dynamics, and the initial low will probably have to be retested, as we've seen before. But when that happens, then I think the long-dated government bond markets will increasingly become shorting opportunities. US dollar, I don't see scope for anything other than a short-term short covering rally. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any follow-through here tomorrow. If not, then we may have a one-day wonder. But again, given that the dollar had fallen persistently for a number of weeks, got down to that round number emotive 80 level on the US dollar index yesterday, and saw today's upward dynamics, it would be prudent to assume that we'll see some additional near-term strength until it'd be prudent to assume that until we see some sort of countermanding downward move, which I think will be evident before too long. In other words, we're not going to get any big recovery in the dollar. The fundamentals are just too weak here overall. And while the dollar rallies, that may well restrain precious metals somewhat, but they have improved generally, not just against dollars, but against most other currencies as well. So I don't think we're that far away from another leg up in the precious metals sector, probably led by platinum. And what else to mention? The agricultural commodity. Well, industrial metals down today, but demand remains very strong overall, and they do not they're not all moving in lockstep, as you know. Lead, I wouldn't be surprised if it hasn't peaked up here near this 3,500 level. I've mentioned that before. Nickel is close to a bottoming out stage, and the others are mostly steady. And the agricultural commodities many of them have weakened recently on the reasonably good crop crop reports coming out of the USA. Crude oil, and the other petroleum contracts, I still wouldn't be surprised to see some resistance near last year's highs, but it would only be in the form of a temporary pause and shallow reaction ranging phase before I think this bull market is reaffirmed. And that's it for another exciting day. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.